Okay, so what we're going to do now is basically the sugya of placing an Erev Tavshilin for other people. Okay, and other people are relying on your Erev Tavshilin. So the sugyas are kind of a little bit all over the place. You know, and also I guess under what conditions someone could rely on your Erev and what conditions they can't, and by what mechanism can they rely on it. So I guess for starters, I'll just read the Rambam. I'll just get us into the area a little bit. So let's read. I'm going to read Rambam in Hilchos Yontif, Perek Vav Halacha Vav. Okay, I guess Vav and Zayin. So it says, "Hamniach Erev Tavshilin. If you place an Erev Tavshilin, kedei shiyismach aleihem huva acherim, so that you and others will rely upon it. Sarech lezakos lahem kederach shemizake beiruvei Shabbos. You have to be mizake them." Which means I give them a zechus in it. Make some sort of a kinyan, such that they have some sort of an ownership or a partnership right in this Erev. Just like you have an Erev on Shabbos, an Erev Chatzeros. If you make a food which is going to allow everybody to carry, basically you have to make a kinyan that this is on behalf of everybody's food. It's joint food. And similarly, if you have an Erev Tchumim, which is basically... we've talked about Eretchum, right? So you could walk within 2,000 amos on Shabbos or on Yontif, but if you place an Erev, which means you extend, you say, you have 2,000 amos in every direction from where you're dwelling to travel on Shabbos. But what you have the option to do is to say, I'm dwelling over there, somewhere further, you know, within 2,000 amos, and you put your food there, and that you set that up as your Makom Shvisa, as your dwelling place. And then you have 2,000 amos in every direction from that food. Okay, from that food. Now, you'll lose, if you think about it, you'll lose going the direction of the food, you're going to gain 2,000 amos, and the opposite direction you're going to lose, because that's your Makom Shvisa. You know, so basically that's the setting up that's called Erev Tchumim. So that also, if I want to place an Erev Tchumim on behalf of you, so I have to be Mizake you in it, to make some sort of kinyan that it's our food. It's not just my food, it's not, you know, you put some sort of food down on the, you know, that at that spot. So there's a phenomenon of being Mizake. And maybe we'll get into it, which area you have to, which area you don't have to be mezakeh, which you don't have to make this kinyan. But this Rambam is saying that by Erev Tavshilin, so you could place it for other people, but you have to be mezakeh them in the Erev. V'chol shezocha v'erev Shabbos zocha v'erev Tavshilin v'chol she'en zocha v'osar v'en zocha v'zah. So who you could use to make the kinyan, to make the schus. The question could use your wife, could use a kid, could use all different questions. Who's appropriate to make that kinyan? You know, because you can't be koneh on their behalf for yourself, like you have food. So if you give food to somebody and the other person is koneh on their behalf, so like, let's say I give it to Chaim, I take this bread and I give it to Chaim and say, Chaim, you koneh this food on behalf of the whole community. Something like that. So then you're koneh on their behalf. But could I give it to my wife? Because my wife, in a certain sense, is her kinyan is my kinyan. So could I give it to a kid? So that's the whole question. Who's appropriate to be that person to do it? So, but I can't give it to myself. Like, it won't work for myself. It's mine. So I'm giving a portion of it to somebody else. I can't give it to myself. I can't simultaneously be the giver and the taker. So that's what it says. It's, whoever is appropriate for that is appropriate for this. Fine. And then it says, Halacha Zayin. Ve'eino tzorech lehodia le'elu shezacha lehem Erev Yontif. You don't have to tell these guys from Erev Yontif. You don't have to tell them that you're placing it on their behalf. Ela aval hein tzrichen leida. But they must know that somebody was zocha for them, and there was an erev for them. And then they could rely on it. And then they could cook and they could bake. Even though they only find out on Yontif itself, they didn't know about it at the time it was placed. But it doesn't matter. So I could be mezakeh for everybody else in the community, let's say, and as long as they find out about it by the time that they want to use it and they want to cook, so then that works. V'yeshol adam lari v'al kol ha'ir, v'al kol ha'karuv e'la ha'bezochatchem. A person can or should make an erev for the whole city and all the people who are within the tchum. Ul machar, machar is in tomorrow, in shul or whatever, he'll announce. And anyone who didn't place an Erev could rely on my Erev. Okay? In this way, you cover everybody, you announce it in this way, they'll know about it. Okay? So this is basically, this very halacha is the first thing we're going to take out. Is does the guy have to know about it? Okay, so that's what he said yesterday. So it says, Eretz Yisrael needs das. The Gemara says, Eretz Yisrael das. The Gemara says, das meniyach, pshita das meniyach b'inan. The person who places it, of course, has to know about it. Das mi sheinich lo b'inan lo b'inan. Does the person who is being placed for have to know about it? And the Gemara showed from the story of these Rabbanim who placed the Erev on behalf of their whole community that you do not need to know, that they don't need das. Right? But they definitely need das, and you see from the Rambam, and we kind of do it from Rashi. When they use it, they have to have das. They have to know about it. It's just the question is, do they have to know about it when you place it for them? Okay. So the question is, what's that question? What's the hakira? Do they have to know about it when you place it, or do they not have to know about it when you place it? Okay. So I'm thinking like this, similar to what you were just saying that the question is, what's the matir of Eretz Yisrael? What's the halacha of the matir? What's the halacha of Eretz Yisrael? Is it halacha that I have to place an Eretz Yisrael? What's matir to cook? Is that I've placed an Eretz Yisrael? Right? But the halacha is I don't have to place it directly. I could place it using the shliach, so to speak. Right? I could have someone do place it on my behalf. Okay? I don't have to do it begufo, but I could do it. I could have someone do it for me. Right? Someone do it for me. Or do you say the matir is not that I placed an Eretz Yisrael, but the matir, so to speak, is that I have an Eretz Yisrael, that my cooking is in reliance, my cooking on Yontif is mutter if it's in reliance upon my Erev. You know what I mean? Is that I have an Erev, which is mine, which is defined as mine, and my cooking is being soveh on that Erev. You know what I mean? It's not the hanacha. Like, is the matir the hanacha sa'erev? That why I could cook because I have placed an Erev, or my shliach has placed an Erev. What are you saying? No, it's not the placing which is the matir, but it's the chafza of the Erev is the matir. The matir is, the chafza of the Erev is matir made to cook. The fact that the chafza, my Erev, I mean, it has to be mine. It's not just the fact there exists a chafza in the world, which is whatever, it has to have some relationship to me, which is that's what we'll talk about. Do you need a chus or whatever, however it's related to you. But in other words, the chafza of the Erev is matir mirakak. Or do you say no? It's the hanachas Erev is matir mirakak. Hanachas Erev is matir mirakak. So if you say that it's the hanachas Erev, that I've placed an Erev, so you say I could place it or I could have someone place it for me. But if someone just places it and I don't even know about it, right? I have no shaychas to the hanachas Erev. Some guy places it and then tells me tomorrow that he placed it. But I have nothing to do with hanachas Erev. You can't say that's my hanachas Erev. I mean, you could say that he said it for me. So you could say, it's my Erev. He placed it on my behalf. So therefore, you could say, tomorrow, I could say, oh, I know I have that Erev. It was designated for me. But if you say is that the matir is the hanachas ha'erev, I must have a shaychas to the hanacha itself. So my shaychas, if I know about it beforehand, so then I'm relying, then I'm, so to speak, involved in his mice. I don't have to necessarily point to my shaychas, but he tells me that I'm doing it. So now I know. So it's like there's a shaychas that he's doing it on my behalf, and I'm involved in the hanacha. Not actively, but through like a shaychas mechanism. But if you don't know about it, then you can't say that I'm doing. I have a kiyum of hanachas ha'erev. I'm not involved in hanachas ha'erev. I don't even know about hanachas ha'erev. I just know the next day. But if the matir is the chafta of the erev, so then the chafta is placed on my behalf. So it's my chafta. So tomorrow, then I'm soveich on it. And that's what the Rambam says. Is that the Rambam formulates it well? I think he says. He says, they have to know that he plays, he's a zakar for them, and he plays a ma'ariv for them. And then they could rely on it. And then they could rely on it. So it's like, it's more halacha that your cooking is in reliance upon the chafta. The cooking is a cooking of hacker, so to speak, a cooking of a chafta of an erev. As opposed to that you do the maisa and then the maisa casts forth a matir for the next day. You know, we're involved in a maisa. Someone says, I don't think you say you're involved in the maisa through some guy doing it on your behalf. How am I involved in the maisa? I could take benefit from the result of the chafza, but you can't say I'm involved in the maisa. But if I know about it and he's telling me he's placing on my behalf, then he'll say I'm involved in it. I'm relying on him and I'm like involved in it. I'm a participant in it. I'm not actually doing it. There's only one guy doing it, but I'm a participant in the Maisa. Okay. Okay, so let's digress a little bit. Let's digress a little bit to the Gemara in Erevin. Okay, because the Gemara in Erevin talks about the issue of Zchus, of the Mizaka in the Erevin. Okay, so the Gemara is Erevin, Pei Amar Aleph. So it really talks about which Erevin you need Zchus and which Erevin you don't need Zchus in.
Where are we at the
death? I'm not sure yet. I'll let you know. Itmar, I guess. Itmar is... one second. Okay, let me just fill you in a little bit. We have to know a little bit about the types of Erevs. So there's one Erev called Erev Chatzeros. Okay, and there's Shitufei Mevaos, which is essentially the same thing as an Erev Chatzeros. It's just that, let me tell you what Erev Chatzeros is, and I'll tell you Shitufei Mevaos is, okay? It's good to know these things. These things come up all the time.
What's the second one?
Shitufei Mevaos. Sounds a funny word. Like Shitufei is from Shituf, like a joining together, and Mevaos from Mavoi. Mavois. Okay, the joining together of Mavois. Just like Erev Chatzeros is joined together of courtyards, Mavois are like alleyways. Okay, so the Erev Chatzeros basically is that you have houses which open up to a courtyard. Okay, houses open up to a courtyard. And the courtyard technically is walled in and therefore is Rishos Yachid. But it's used by the many people, by all the people of the houses. And therefore it appears like it's a Rishos Rabban. Because people don't know that it goes by walls. People think, hey, it's a public thing, people are using it publicly. They don't know, since there are walls around it, technically it's Rishos Yachid. So the Rabbanon said is that there's Shlomo HaMelech set up that you're not allowed to carry in that, okay? Because it looks like an era. It looks like Rishos Yachid, Rishos Rabbim, and you're not allowed to carry from the Rishos Yachid to the Chotzer, and you're not allowed to carry within there. But there is a matir. He set up that there's a matir. The matir is that you do an action of placing an Erev, which basically is you have some sort of a food, and this is like a joint food for everybody. It's our joint food, and thereby it's like a statement, just like we're joined together on this food and in the location of this food, we're all joined together in this chatzer, and therefore it's our private chatzer. You know, we have ownership over it and control over it, and therefore it's Rishos Yachid. And through that, you'll know that it's not Rishos Rabbim, and you're not going to come to carry from Rishos Yachid to Rishos Rabbim. Okay? So you place this Erev on behalf of all the people who live in the houses. Okay? Shituvim Mevos is the same idea, but you have a bunch of chatzers. It's one level, the next level. You have a number of chatzers which open up into an alleyway. Okay? So you have an alleyway which also has some sort of wall situation going on. But like if you'd imagine, you have these houses into a chatzer, and then the next chatzer next door. It's like a little gated community has this chatzer or something, you know, and then the next door chatzer, a few chatzeros in a row, and then maybe across the street, another a few in a row, and they have this big main, you know, street which they all open up into. But that street also could have walls. It's walled, however many walls it is, such that it's not a Rishos Rabban, just the Yachid. So this Mavoi looks like a Rishos Yachid. So similarly, you have Shitu Mavos, whereby the different Mavois, the different chatzeros, you know, joined together to unify them all as being one big thing. Okay, so that's called Shituf Mevos. But essentially, I think for our purposes, they go together. Okay, Erev Chatzeros and Shituf Mevos go together. Okay, and
I have one question.
Yeah.
For the Mavois, is it a double open-ended alley, or is it?
I don't know. You can learn Erev, and you want to get into all that stuff. I don't know. Okay, I don't know. Anyway, but it's not relevant for our purposes. So the Mishnah on Ayin Tes Lamed Beis, Ketzen Mishtatfim B'Mavoi. How do you make a Shituf in Mavoi? What do you do? So Min Yachetz HaChavis, okay, Rashi Mishalo Amirta, you take the Chavis, this pitcher of whatever, the Omer, and you say, HaRezu L'chol B'nei Mavoi, this is for all the B'nei HaMavoi. U'mizakeh Lahem, and you are mizakeh for them, you make some sort of a Kenyan, okay, Al Yidei, Vino ubito hagadolim, through your adult son or daughter, okay, gadolim, by the avdo v'shivcha soha ivrim, or shivcha or an avad who's an ivri, by the ishto or your wife, avalino mizakiloi de vino ubito hagatanim, your children, or less than bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah, v'loi de avdo v'shivcha soha kananim, because their yad is like your yad, So therefore, they can't function to make a kinyan for the other people. Okay, Rashi says, "Mizakalam ali de ben obito ve'omer lahem kiblu chavezu v'zachu bal hashem kol bnei mavoi." So you say to them, accept this chavez and create a zchus for all the people who live in the mavoi. Okay, shi'adon ki'adon v'lav zechiyahi. So basically, the people, you know, they're your kids. It's not zechiyah because they're you. They're not doing anything. Okay, fine. Good. So basically, what do you see? The basic halacha is that you need a zechus. You need a mizaka for them. Okay. Okay. Fine. So, can someone give? How about this? Can we give the basic definition of what is the role of zechiyah? Right. What's the role of zechiyah? Why do you need zechiyah? What's the concept of zechiyah? Okay. Just the basic, working definition so that we can move forward. But similar to what I'm saying. Perhaps it means, it's like by virtue of what is it my erev? Like what makes it my erev? Right. I'm using it. I'm carrying with it. I'm cooking with it, I'm whatevering with it. So what makes it my erev? What's tzira? What's the mitzayif? What's the tzira of me to the erev? So you could have said, you could say, the fact that it was placed on my behalf. Okay? Like, so to speak, historically, it was placed for me. Okay, the action of placing it for me makes it mine. Okay, in the maisa, the halachic maisa of placing it was for me, so that makes it mine. But you could argue that that's not concrete. That's just like historically. Like it was, okay, so he did it and he had me in mind. But rather, what makes it my Erev is that I have a kinyan in it. I have a chos mom on it. That you could argue, the idea of chos is that it's not sufficient Serif just that he said my name or he said for me. But it must be that I have a real relationship to this thing. So if I have a kinyan in it, then I say it's my Erev because it's an object of mamon and I have a kinyan in it. So you could say that by virtue of the kinyan, you could say it's mine, it's my erev, so I'm relying on my erev, I have a kinyan in it. But it would seem that's the question. I mean, within each erev, we're going to have to get into whether or why that's necessary or not. But in what makes it into my erev? Is it simply the placing of it for me, or do you say it's necessary that that relationship is concretized in a kinyan, right, through his chasmama? Okay? Now, let's do the Gemara. It's Itmar. It's on Peyam and Aleph. Just didn't know where this was. Okay, the end of the line. So like 10 lines in? Okay, Itmar, the last word on the line.
The narrow line?
Yes, the beginning, yeah. So it says Itmar. She two famous votes. Okay, Rav Amar. In Tzarech Lazakos? Shmuel Amar Tzarech Lazakos. So by Shetiv Mevos, which for our purpose is the same type of thing as Erev Chatzeros, Rav says you have to be Mzaka, and Shul Zayim. Erev Tchumim, the opposite. Rav Amar Tzorach Zakos, Shmuel Amar Tzorach Zakos. Okay, so again, Erev Tchumim, remember, Erev Tchumim is what you place in order to extend your Tchum, to extend the boundaries which you're allowed to carry, which you're allowed to walk. Okay, the Erev Tchumim has nothing to do with carrying, it has to do with walking. Okay, you're not allowed to travel on Shabbos or Yom Tov. You're not allowed to travel beyond a certain distance, whether you're carrying something or not. Okay, 2,000 amos. And if you want to extend it, where your center is, you place an Erev Toshilin. And the place an Erev Toshilin is you put food in a certain location, and I could place it for you. So similar question is, if I'm placing it on your behalf, do I have to be kona you a portion of the food which I'm placing, or is that not necessary? So it's machloka. Okay, so Rav and Shmuel are reversed. Okay, Rav and Shmuel are reversed. Okay, by Shetufa and Mavoz, Rav says you don't need zchus, and by Erev Tchumim he says you don't. So it says Bishlam of Shmuel, Hachatnan, Hachalotnan. So Shmuel here by Shetufa and Mavoz, the Mishnah says you need to be mezaka, right? But Erev Tchumim there's no Mishnah, so he's saying that he's not bound by the Mishnah. El Rav. My time. Okay, well, what's Rav? He's just like going against the Mishnah. Right? Yeah, Rashi. Look at Rashi. It says, Hachatnan. This is the second line, the second skinny line. Be'erev Chatziros, Umizakelan. By Erev Chatziros, it says openly, Umizakel. Hachalotan, Be'erev Tchumen, Ketani Lekaman, Ketan Mishnatra Mitchumen, Velokhtani Mizakelan. If you look at the Brisa over there, it doesn't say anything about Tzchas. Right? It just says that you place it for them. Right? Kesen mishtatvim betchumim. It's the beginning of Mishnah. Adi mishtatvim betchumim. And yechaz achav is omah harayz elachol b'nei yiri. Achol mishay elachol b'es avol b'es mishnah. Right? So this is for everybody in the city. Right? Or for anyone who wants to go to this party. V'chol shekibel amodiyom mutar. And anyone who's mekabel, that they want to use it, it's mutar for them. Right? So apparently they have to accept it, to rely on that. Right? Because by Erev, see, there's an interesting thing by Erev Tchumen to Tchumen. What's an interesting difference? Can you think of a difference between Erev Tchumen and Erev Tavshilin? Erev Tchumen and Erev Chatzeros? Which is, for instance, you have to hear, you have to be Mekabelet before Yantav, you have to be a Shabbos, before you have to be Mekabelet, I want to use this Erev.
Which
Tchumen? Right, but by Erev Chatzeros, it's not Allah of being Mekabelet or by Erev Tavshilin. Why would you think? Well, what's unique about Erev Tchumen, which you don't have by those? Exactly. And that's one main point here is that, right, that Erev Chatchumim is a matir, but it's also an osar. Right? And it moves your tchum. So where previously you had 2,000 amos, it's like if you think of it as like, you know, you have, like I say, a circle. It's a question whether it's a circle or a square, but I think it's a square really, but it's a square where the...
Does that work?
Where you get 2,000 amos in the x direction or the y direction, but the hypotenuse is more.
Square?
Yeah, more. You square off 2,000 amos.
How could a radius
I don't know.
Be?
I'm not sure. You get a circle. I guess it ends up being a circle. I think the radius is 2,000 amos. Mm-hmm. So, the, you know, 2,000 squared plus 2,000 squared, you know? I think that's how it goes.
No.
It's, I think so, because you could always turn your square, right? So I think you create a square, you know? You create a square, 2,000 by 2,000.
So it becomes a radius.
I think it may become a circle. I forget how it goes, but it's tricky. I think it's bigger than that. I forget how it goes, but yeah, it's also yes, but whatever it is. So think of it as a circle. It's for giving it simple. Think of it as a circle, 2,000 by 2,000 amos, right? Radius. So if you place an Erev Tavshilin to a Tchum, you're moving the center of the circle. So now you're gonna you gain on the right, you're gonna lose on the left. You gain in the east, you can lose on the west. So you can't force someone to accept your Erev Tavshilin. They may not want it. Their Tchum, they may not want it. So you could place it on their behalf, but they have to then accept it. If they don't accept it, then they don't accept it. But by Erev Chatzeros, it just permits you to carry. It doesn't prevent you from doing anything. What's your problem? Why would you be against it? Erev Tavshilin, what's your problem? It doesn't do anything, it doesn't hurt you. So therefore, it's not. That's one difference. Okay, well, we'll see how that plays out, but that's a difference, an important difference. But basically, the Gemara is just saying is that according to Shmuel, he just looked at the Mishnah. The Mishnah by Erev Chatzeros says you have to be Mezaka. Mishnah by Erev Tchumen, same as you don't have to be Mezaka. Right, and for that, I guess you could say what Yehuda is saying. Right? It seems so. Is that the nature of Erev Chatzeros is that you're saying is we're all, there's one way to learn, is that they're all joined. That's what you're saying, is that we are all joined. Right, that's what allows you to carry. We're all joined together in ownership of this thing, and thereby, just like we're joined in this thing, we're all joined in one Rishos, and therefore that allows us to carry. So the whole thing is that we're joined. How are we joined? We're joined in ownership. We each have a chaylek, so if we need zchus. But by Erev Tchumen, the nature of Erev Tchumen is not that we're joined. Erev Tchumen is that I'm placing this food, and that's where I'm dwelling. So now I place it on your behalf, so therefore it works. Right? But by Chatzeros, the whole thing is that it's joined, so how are we joined? So you'd say we're joined because there's a man there's chos, right? But tchum, there's no reason, there's no need for that, right? Which is not, then it wouldn't be what I was saying there. What relates you to it is the kinyan. But then it would just be a unique halacha by Erev Chatzeros, so that's the nature of what's going on here, that we're all joined together. So joining together has to be concretized in Dinim Amonis. But by Erev Tchum, it's undo it, joining together, it's just a matter of that's where I'm dwelling, that's where my center is. So I'm dwelling there, you're dwelling there, we're all dwelling there, why do I have to own the food? It's just a statement, it's an expression of dwelling, or that's our dwelling place. Okay. So it seems that that's what Gemara is saying. Is that Shmuel? Shmuel just... But Shmuel's like even it's more simple. It's look at the Mishnah. Shmuel's just saying, look at the Mishnah. Right? Look at this Mishnah, look at that Mishnah, that's my halacha. Okay, but Rav is a kasha. Right? Gemara is saying is, what's the deal with Rav? Right? Right. So what's the deal with Rav? Right, he's going against the Mishnah. The Mishnah by Erev Chatzeros. I mean, both of them, he's going against the Mishnah. So he says, the Gemara says, Tanoi, the Tad Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Maisa Bekalaso Shrevi Oshia. There's a story, there's a daughter-in-law of Rav Oshia, Shehalchol Beis Merchat. She went to Beis Merchat, Vachashchala, and it got dark. The Irva Lachamosa, and her that our father-in-law placed an eruv for her. Uba ma'aselof neira v'yichia. V'asar, v'yichia said it's asar. Amalei Rav Shimon v'Rav Yosi v'avloi, kacha tamachmir v'eruvim, kacha amra abba, kol sheyesh chalakal v'eruvim hakel. This is what my father said, you should be mekel as much as you could in eruvim. Okay, don't be so machmir in eruvim, and in eruvim you can be mekel. V'yiboylu, and they ask, mishal chamosa eruv Allah. Oh, I'm sorry, so basically saying is, why were they machmir? V'yiboylu, and they ask, mishal chamosa eruv Allah? Right, is it pshat that the father-in-law used his own stuff? And the reason why they were machmir there was because there was no zchus. They didn't make a zchus in it. Or no, is it the reason why they were machmir? It really was from our stuff. It's because they didn't tell her about it. Like, what was the reason why in that story he was machmir? Okay? Right, and it's because apparently he asked her from coming back. So why didn't the Erev work? So the question was, is it because you need to know about the Erev, and since she didn't know about it, it doesn't work? Or no, it's nothing to do with her knowing about it. It is because it wasn't her stuff. There's no zchus. And if that is zchus, it doesn't work. Okay? So the Gemara, so it says, Amalehu Rabbahu Merabbanan, Rav Yaakov Shemel, Didim Farshelan, Rav Yochel, Mishal Chamos, Erev Allah, Mishal Do Zechsalah. That it explained to me that it's because there's no zchus. Okay? And therefore what? So therefore you see that you need a zchus in Eretz Hashilim, and that's what Rav is relying on. The what? Eretz Chumim. Sorry, Eretz Chumim. And that's what he's relying on. Right? Because this was Rabbi Chia. Right? Rabbi Chia. So he asked it, so he says he's a Tana. The thing is that he was relying on Rabbi Chia. Rav was relying on Rabbi Chia. As a yasara. So even though the Mishnah seems to say that you don't need zchus, but this story is the Ruchi Aldida. Okay. So then it says like this. It says, and then it was further. I'm later Zera Rabbi Yaakov Berei. The Rabbi Yaakov Kimat this Hasam. When you get there, Akiv Azul the Sulam of the Torah. Go to this place, the Sulam and Torah. Ubo mi name Rabbi Yaakov. Go ask him. Ask him what the answer is. The same question. Same thing. So it says all these stories. Basically, the story basically shows you that was the deal. Okay, that was the deal. So it says. Let's look at Rashi. There's a Rashi here, which is important. It says. You see where it says Vizila Sumal Rabbi Chia Koi. Rabbi Chia Koi. It's in the middle of Rashi, kind of, but. Rabbi Chia koi ke Rav v'tchumen. Rabbi Chia goes like Rav v'tchumen. That basically you need as a chos, right? V'gavei chatzeros, time of the Rav. So what about by chatzeros? Chatzeros, why you don't need a chos? Mishum de kivan de ka'asar aleha. Right? Okay, so doing Rashi. So he says, time of the Rav, mishum de kivan de ka'asar aleha, gamar umakmi. V'in sar sechia. So why is Rav saying, so you see Rav is holding by Erev Tchumim, you need a Zechus, right? You need a Zechus, Mama. But by, he says, so then why by Erev Chatzeros don't you also? So he says, because since it's asering you, Gamar Umakni, Ve'inot Sarasechia, you have like a Gemiras Das, and you're Kona. You don't need a Zechus. After that, he says, completely, Rav Tana Hupalik. So he's saying, it's funny, he's like, even though, by he's saying it's by Erev Chatzeros, You don't need the zchus, because since you're usher without it, you are like gemiras das and you're kona. But it's funny, but where's the kenyan? Right? Like, it's not clear what that means. Because still you think you need a kenyan. Like, the whole question is, do you need to be mizake the guy or not? The thing is, since it's usher for me, therefore I have gemiras das and I'm kona. Kona what? But where's the Kenyan? If you're not mezakeh for everybody, then how does that work? Right?
What is the reason he holds
Yitzchak? It's not clear. He doesn't say. That's part of we don't know. Right. Maybe my reason. I don't know. I'm not sure. He doesn't say. But he explains, given that you do. Maybe that's a hint why you don't buy Erev Chatzeros, but it doesn't say why he needs to buy Tchumim.
Right.
Okay. Why? He's just saying is, even though the Mishnah is against the Mishnah, he says, Rav's a Tana, Rav's a lot of arguing on Mishnah. Okay. Gemara's Nasi is saying is that, I mean, I'm not sure why this is relevant, but I think Pshat is that by Erev Tchumim, the guy, so to speak, has to decide, does he want it, does he not want to? So therefore, you need to have some sort of a kinyan in order to make it work. But by Yochatzeros, everyone has Gemara's Nasi that they want it to work. It's like an automatic default Das that everyone wants the thing to be for them. So therefore, somehow it works, even without Zchus. But still, how do you do that with Zchus? Right? I mean, Gomer Makni normally means is that I'm Kona something to you, or whatever. Gemara's Das to make a Kenyan, but that's here we're saying it's working without Zchus. Right? So that's the question how it's working. Okay, let's read a little further. Then it says like this. It says, Amar of Nachman, Naktinan. Naktinan means we choose, but it means we paskin. We paskin. Echad Erev Tchumim ve'echad Erev Chatzeros. What's that, Aleph? Erev Tchumim. Okay. Echad Erev Tchumim. Okay, you need a Zchus. Bali Rav Nachman, Erev Tov Shilin, Tzorach Zachos, Ein Tzorach Zachos. So, okay, fine. Now, you told me about Erev Tchumen, Erev Shidim Vos. What about Erev Tov Shilin? Okay. So he says, I'm Rav Yosef, Umayti Ba'alai. What are you asking? What kind of question is that? Lo Sham Yalei, Hada Amar Rav Nachman, Baravada Amar Shmuel, Erev Tov Shilin, Tzorach Zachos? Right? Well, what kind of question is that? Didn't you hear that basically said in the name of Shmuel that Erev Tov Shilin you need to make his chas? You need it? So Amar Lei Abaye, Pshita Lo Shamilei. Well, what are you getting so of course you didn't hear it. Di Shamilei, my Dibayalei. Right? What are you getting so upset? Well, didn't you hear? No, obviously I didn't hear. So Gemara says, Amar Lei, right? Amar Lei, Atu Erev Tchumen Milo Amar Shmuel Ein Tzorach Zakos? Amar Yud Tzorach Zakos? What do you mean? Why are you saying it's so simple that Yosef is asking a question if it must be he didn't hear Shmuel? Isn't it true that Shmuel says by Erev Tchumen you don't need a Zchus? And Rav Nachman says you do need a Zchus? So Rav Nachman argues on Shmuel when it comes to Erev Tchumen. So what makes you so certain the fact that Rav Nachman is asking the question by Erev Tavshilin that he didn't hear Shmuel's statement? Maybe he did hear it. Maybe he's arguing. Right? No, that's of course, because over there it's Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, so Rav Nachman's allowed to say, I'm going like Rav. So Rav Nachman's passing like the Chumra of both sides. Right, if you would have heard Shmuel's statement, it says he needs Chos, who argues? No one argues. So it's one thing to say Rav Nachman's arguing on Shmuel and he's being Machmir like Rav. But here it's an open it's a statement to Shmuel which basically says that by Erev Tchumen you need a Zchus. And no one argues. No one argues. By Erev, I'm sorry, Erev Tashilin is Zchus. No one argues. So therefore it must be that he holds by it. Okay? So it's interesting. So it seems, but this is a further step, is that it seems that according to Rav Nachman held, he held it really by Erev Chatzeros and by Erev Tashilin. Erev Chatzeros and by Erev Tchumen. You need Zchus. You need Rim Zaka. But he was asking, he wasn't sure about Erev Tashilin. What about Erev Tashilin? And the conclusion is, yeah, that also needs it. Right? So that's another thing we're going to have to define. Okay, is what's the question? Is apparently you could hold it, you need it by both of those, by the Chatzeros and by Tchum, but yet not by Erev Tashilin. Right? It turns out that it's not Shmuel hold you do. You also need it. It turns out you need it by all them, and that's why we hold you need it by all them. Okay, but what's that question? Okay, so we have a few different shittas here, right? We have Rav who says that you, I'm sorry, let's start with Shmuel. Shmuel's like the Mishnayos, who says you need to buy your Chatzeros and you don't need to buy your Tchumen. Rav's the exact opposite. The Tchumen you need to buy your Chatzeros, you don't, because it's Gomer and Machni kind of thing. And then you have Rav Nachman who paskins like the Chumra of both of them, basically. The Chumra of both, that you need to buy both. But he has a Chak in Yibaya, whether you need to buy Erev Tavshilin or not. And the conclusion is you do, but it seems like it's not simple, right? It's not simple. It doesn't naturally follow because there are, you know, those two that you also need to hear. Okay, I think this is the Gemara. I mean, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I didn't do a lot of research on this thing, but look at Tosa says. It says, Amar Rav Nachman, Mektina Echad Rosas, Erechad Erev Tchumim Vechad Shetifim Vot, So Zakos, Vechein Halacha. That's the Psaq. Vechein Pasuk B'Sheltos Parashas V'Yivishal Tekulon Shrichon L'Zakos. Erev Tchumen v'chatzeros v'shtum avos v'erev tashilin. After the way of Rav Nachman, Erev Tashilin, even though Rav Nachman asks anybody, So you see, the Gemara basically says that it concludes that if he would have known about this statement, he wouldn't have asked the question. So you see, basically from the Gemara, that that's the conclusion of the Gemara. That basically, they all need it. Okay, and that's the Psak. That's why the Ram has by all them. Okay. So it would be nice if we could just get these things, see what we could do with all this stuff. Okay, and we resolve all the problems. Let's see how many as we could resolve. Okay, this should keep us busy for tomorrow, I think. Okay, and then the next step after we do this is the question, I don't know if you know from reading the Rambam, for whom could you place it? How far away could you place an Erev Tashlim for? He says, anyone within the Tum. Could you place it for someone further away? Could I place an Erev Tashlim for some guy in Israel? Like, what's the limit about how far I can place it for? You know, that's going to be the next question. Okay, so they're kind of assorted sugyas, but I think the way I did these is I used the Rambams as my guide to figure out the relevant issues about it. I mean, they're all related in that place about placing Erev for other people. But it's the next part of our Gemara is, if someone is negligent and doesn't place it for himself, could he rely on yours? So you can't really do that until you understand the mechanisms of how placing for somebody else works. That's why I'm kind of going out of order here. Right? I mean, how are you going to figure out, could I place it for someone else? What is that if he's negligent? What's going on? What are the issues? So that's what I think it is. I looked at the Rambams just to get background, and I realized there are sugyas. And sometimes in order to go further, you just have to go out of order. Which is, it's important to know that. I mean, when you do the Gemara, you can't always be stuck in going in order. Gemara wasn't necessarily written in the way to go to order. So, especially for people who don't know what the sugya is, to just go in order. It wasn't organized that way.